You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to another hour of The Grace Curley Show. I am your host today, Caroline Levitt. Appreciate y'all tuning in while Grace is out. She'll be back tomorrow, I believe, right, Jared? Wonderful. We've talked about a lot today, Sununu, 2024, Trump, the Biden border crisis, the legalization of marijuana. And I always like to bring local stories to you guys, especially in New Hampshire. There was some notable news, some concerning news out of Manchester this past weekend. There was a lot of violence and three separate shootings in our state's largest city. Four people were shot at a graduation party in Manchester, New Hampshire, around 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. It occurred near Ahern and O'Malley Streets, for those listening who may be familiar with the area. There were 30 people celebrating at the graduation party, including babies and small children. And the family who was there said suddenly just before 5 p.m., a car drove up to the home. Two people wearing hoodies and masks jumped out and began firing at the partygoers. They say people rushed over to those help who had been shot. One family member saying he rushed to help a man who had been shot in the chest, holding his chest, trying to keep blood in until the man was taken away to seek medical treatment. Both men were then seen fleeing the area, and at this point in the investigation, police said that this shooting does not appear to be at random. That happened at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Very tragic. The latest I've heard is that all four people are expected to survive, though they are in critical condition being treated in our local hospitals. But then after 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, police responded to another shooting on Elm Street. Elm Street, for those familiar with Manchester, is the main road where all of the restaurants and bars are, where many people congregate, especially on Saturday evenings. When I was a student at St. Anselm College, Elm Street was where, you know, we all as young college students would go to have fun. And there was a shooting just outside of the Ben and Jerry's. Nobody was hurt. And then there was another shooting minutes after that. Now, this is concerning. We're seeing crime surges across this whole country. We mainly hear about major cities like New York City and San Francisco and Chicago, especially, where violence has occurred en masse because of Democrat leadership and horrific bail reform policies and, you know, allowing repeat offenders back on the streets. New Hampshire is a relatively safe state. It always has been. And I credit that, one, for our widespread support of our local law enforcement. The Manchester PD are excellent people. I had the pleasure, honor of doing a ride along with one of the lieutenants in that department when I was a candidate for Congress. It was one of my favorite days on the campaign trail. We responded to a domestic. I saw firsthand how our law enforcement community so graciously deals with the homeless crisis in Manchester. But shootings like this occurring so frequently is not common for our state, but it is becoming the norm. And we have a horrific mayor in Manchester, Mayor Joyce Craig, who has supported some of the most radical policies our state has ever seen. And a lot of the folks who are committing these crimes are coming from out of state, Massachusetts residents. Sorry to crap on y'all down here, but it's the truth. Not sending your best and your brightest, and they're committing these crimes. So it's never been more important that we protect our Second Amendment culture in New Hampshire. We're a constitutional carry state. We are an open carry state. And it's our Second Amendment culture that will stand with the thin blue line, our law enforcement community, in deterring crimes like this. Because if people know that you have a gun in your home, or you're carrying a gun in Walmart or at church or in any public place, which we are allowed to do, and if you go shopping in New Hampshire, you do see people carrying guns on their hips in restaurants, in shopping centers. I was at church yesterday. There were many people packing, and it makes you feel safer to know that law-abiding citizens in our state have that ability, have that right to protect us. And so as we see crime surges take hold across this country under Joe Biden's leadership, in which crime is encouraged and policing our streets safely and responsibly is discouraged, it's never been more important that we protect our Second Amendment in New Hampshire. Wanted to bring that news to you today. 844-500-4242. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show. Ed, you are live. What do you got for us?
Miss Levitt, you're a welcome addition to RKO and any other station.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It reminds me of Jerry Williams way back around in 1955 or 6.
That's way before anyway, my time, Ed. Anyway, what do you got?
I go back a long ways there. I was born before, during the Depression. And then we had family meetings every Sunday. We had a meal with the family, and the family unity was kept up. This now, with the advent of TV and the migration, it's a ploy by the far left to get people's mind off the migration and the poor job that the far left is doing for the American public.
Mm-hmm. Ed, I'm really glad that you brought up family meals. And it was actually something I was thinking about on the way here this morning. Yesterday was Mother's Day, as you know, Ed, and I went to dinner with my parents, and we were talking about how blessed I am to have a mom that I do, who encouraged meals with our family, with my parents. I have two older brothers. Every single night growing up, we played a lot of sports, so it wasn't consistent, but we did have that, you know, critical family time. And we've talked a lot about, you know, violence and crime throughout this show today. And we can talk about defunding the police, which we know has been instrumental in the increase in crime we've seen. But it really doesn't get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem are lack of conservative values that you're discussing, Ed, which are faith and family and a love of freedom, God, country. And we're seeing that decline among young people in America today. And that's why we see crime, homelessness, drug abuse, drug addiction increasing, because we're not grounding our young people. And so thank you, Ed, for bringing that up. I appreciate it. 844-500-4242. A lot of people want to talk about pot, Jared. This is a hot button issue. We knew it would be. That's okay. We'll take your calls. Let's go to Tom. You're live, Tom.
Hey, Carolyn. How are you? You're doing a great job, by the way, filling in.
I just wanted to touch base on
the marijuana issue. A gentleman called up a little while ago saying that it was a gateway drug. That used to be the case back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s. During that time, it wasn't regulated. People were growing their own. They were tainting it with LSD and other types of mind-altering drugs. And that did give it an opportunity for people to try things like cocaine, heroin, and so forth. But today, it is regulated. People are using it for municipal reasons as well as recreational reasons. And it's in the state of Maine. This sets a saturation of recreational marijuana here in the state that the state is having a hard time regulating it as far as getting people to buy it, because the prices are dropping and people aren't buying it anymore. So the state of Maine is trying to figure out how can we actually save this industry and get the tax revenue from it.
So Tom, Tom, let me ask. So in Maine, you're saying sales have actually decreased for...
Yeah, the it's marijuana has saturated the market up here, and people aren't buying it, and the prices in the various stores throughout here in the Portland area are going right down. What used to cost, I don't know, $60 is now like $30.
Why do you think that is? Do you think people are just buying it off of the market and like going through their local drug dealer because it's cheaper, or you think people are smoking less weed?
I think the people that are smoking the marijuana have it so readily available to them that they can get it any place. And like I said before, it's not tainted. If you buy it in a shop here in the Portland area, it's not tainted. And a lot of people use it for anxiety, different types of health issues that they have, be it arthritis or what have you. And I'm a police officer in the southern Maine area, and I've been a police officer for 30 years, and I would much rather deal with a person that is has been smoking marijuana than a person that's been drinking. Because the person that's been smoking the marijuana is laid back and they're very cooperative, as opposed to the person who's been drinking and they're agitated,
erratic,
or aggressive. And yes, exactly.
Yeah, Tom, that's a good point. And thanks for serving in law enforcement. Appreciate what you do. And I've talked to a lot of people in law enforcement about this, especially when I was running for office. And I did spend a lot of time with our local police. And I think it's a very... I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but polarizing issue amongst the law enforcement community. I talk to some cops who agree with you on that. You know, they think it makes their jobs easier if it's legal. I've talked to a lot of cops who really fear that, you know, our state will become what has become of Colorado, where we've seen, you know, a lot of crashes and fatalities on the roads because of the legalization of weed. We have more people that want to talk about this, so we'll come back to it. We do have to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, though, because there's more stories to get to. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show.
So this weekend, I decided I was going to do my Burger Perfection flight. I was going to do the New York Strip steak from Omaha Steaks, totally forgetting that it was Mother's Day. So we did that on Mother's Day. Instead, we had burgers. So I had to... Not that I mind sharing with my mom, I would obviously, but I ended up sharing the burgers with my mom this weekend, and she loved it as much as I did. The new Burger Perfection flight from Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with their all-new handmade texture for the juiciest burgers that you've ever tasted. These Pure Ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks, and they are truly steaks on a bun. I mentioned the New York Strip. They also have filet mignon, ribeye, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Filet mignon is the next one, I think, as I work my way down. And you can order the Burger Perfection flight today and get free shipping, plus get $20 off orders of $129 or more when you use promo code GRACE at checkout. These brand new burgers are bigger and they have a mouthwatering texture, and every order is backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Now is the time. Get ready for Father's Day, because this would be a big hit for that. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection flight. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code GRACE at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order of $129 or more, plus free shipping. Order today so you can try each Pure Ground burger and sample all the steak on a bun greatness, and you can share them with family. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code GRACE at checkout to get an extra $20 off orders of $129 or more, and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show today. Having a lot of fun on this Monday. Speaking of fun, I have to read this fun interesting headline that I just saw at the break, a New York Post exclusive. And I really wish Grace was here to talk about this today, because I feel like she and I would have some friendly banter about this. Jared, you know, I just feel like guys don't care as much about the pop culture thing, but New York Post exclusive is saying that Kim Kardashian is shopping for a home in Tom Brady's community, and the pair are getting friendly. A Kim Kardashian-Tom Brady matchup is not what I had on my 2023-2024 or Lifetime bingo card, but I'm kind of here for it. Jared is giggling away. Jared, what do you think about this potential? I mean, that's like, that would be like the most famous couple ever if they were to be a couple.
Listen, the heart wants what the heart wants. And if this is what they're looking for, I'm happy for these kids. But Tommy, what are you doing?
Look, Tom's recently single. He has a few kids. Kim, we know, is divorced now from Kanye West. She has four kids. They're both successful people. I mean, Tom actually has talent, unlike Kim, which we were just talking at the break. She made her
money.
Don't
need talent when you got hustle, apparently.
She does hustle. That's for sure. She went from Paris Hilton's assistant and having a sex tape with Ray J to becoming a billionaire. So, you know what? Don't hate the player, hate the game. Anyway, that's some interesting news that I will certainly be tracking. But today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, we have a poll question that's making the people go crazy. What is it and what are the results?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is do you support legalization of marijuana? Yes, fully, only for medicinal reasons, or no?
And what are the results?
40% say only for medicinal reasons, 37% say no, and 24% say yes, fully.
So 77% of our audience, if I'm doing my quick mental math correctly, believes that it should be restricted or regulated in some way.
Yes.
Huh. You know, I was expecting it to be the opposite, but we got some true conservatives participating in our poll today, I guess. 844-500-4242. John, thanks for your patience on the line today. I know you want to talk about this poll question. What's your take?
Good afternoon. That Officer Tom, a few callers ago, He absolutely hit the nail right on the head. First-hand knowledge of marijuana and alcohol and alcoholism in my family. Alcohol is a poison, first of all, when it's into the body. It is so much more harmful to a body than marijuana. I'm for legalization of the marijuana. Medicinally, it has far more better results and less side effects. But alcoholism and alcohol, I watched my brother slowly drink himself to death over a period of time, which was horrifying, and yeah. I've seen it. Now, marijuana, when the officer said, I'd much rather deal with a person who's smoking marijuana than alcohol, what it does to a person, alcohol, is, like I said, it's sad, and it's very painful to watch.
So,
but
John,
my issue is with the tax money that they get. I'm from Massachusetts, and I purchase it. And all this money that they get from the taxes is phenomenal. It's amazing that the government finds out they can make money from marijuana, now they legalize it. But what are they doing with these tax dollars that they get from it? Do you know? And thanks for having my opinion today.
You're welcome, John. Thank you for calling in. And I like to play devil's advocate on this issue. You know, you say that you don't support, or you think alcohol is a worse drug and you don't support like drinking because you've seen it hurt people in your own family, and so many of us have, for sure. Alcohol is a brutal drug for those that are addicted to it, and it is poison in your body. But there are many people who have had that similar experience with members of their family or friends that have hurt their lives, destroyed themselves, because of their addiction to marijuana. So, I don't know, I think it goes back to the individual, you guys. It's a tough issue. 844-500-4242. Corey Lewandowski joins us when we get back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Caroline Levitt. Thanks for tuning in. We got a few more minutes left here on the Grace Curley Show today. We're having a lot of fun. The lines are blowing up. I'm going to get to all of your calls. But right now, we have to get to a call from a friend of the show, the former campaign manager for President Donald Trump, Corey Lewandowski. Corey, thanks so much for calling in today. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's been a minute since you and I have discussed the 2024 race, and we've been talking a lot about it today. Our callers really get riled up over the whole Trump versus DeSantis primary that we have going on. Tim Scott is now gearing up, bulking up his team to get into the race. What is your take right now on the presidential primary and where things are going?
Look, it's very simple, and I know some of your listeners are going to love to hear what I have to say, but the truth is that Donald Trump is the man to beat in this election. There's no question about it. What they've been able to do in Trump world, specifically in states like Louisiana, is to change the rules so that as opposed to winning a primary and getting a portion of the delegates, it's now winner take all. And the more people that get in the race, whether that's Tim Scott, Mike Pence, or anybody else who's still contemplating it, only helps Donald Trump, because I believe that former President Trump has a group of core supporters that I was there when we started to build this that will never leave him. It is evident in the polling data. We see it out every day. We see it as rallies. So the more people that get in, the better it is for Donald Trump and the more likely it is that he becomes a Republican nominee for president.
Definitely true that he has a stronghold on 30% of the base at least. And we've seen that increase, especially as the indictments come down from Alvin Bragg. People hate to see the weaponization of our Justice Department. The more they go after Trump, I think the more Republicans realized, you know, what's at stake with this corrupt Biden regime. And they're turning to him more and more. And you've had DeSantis, who has been the king of the establishment, you know, the Washington, D.C. class, the chattering class. They thought this was the guy, and his campaign seems to be imploding before it really even begins. And folks like Tim Scott and Chris Sununu, who is probably going to be getting into the race soon, really, I think, respected DeSantis enough to take on Trump. They probably would have stayed out of the race. But I think there's this sense of weakness about DeSantis. He's really missed a lot of shots, and he's just declining so far down in the polls that people are still getting into the race. So what's your take on DeSantis so far? What has he done? I mean, he's done a lot wrong, but what do you think is really hurting him at this point?
Well, look, here's what Ron has done. He's made the typical mistake. He made the same mistake that Jeb Bush made 8 years ago. They go and hire the consultant class, the guys who rip you off left and right. They put $85 million into a super PAC. They say, hey, go spend my money. And I'm sitting here in New Hampshire, and I'm getting piece of mail after piece of mail on Ron DeSanctimonious from his super PAC. That's just a complete and utter waste of money, but some consultants getting rich off of it.
Right.
Tim Scott's got $25 million in his PAC account. He hires a company which does political consulting to go and run that. And now what do we see? These guys are all going to get rich. This is the problem with these candidates. They all think that the more money they spend against Donald Trump, the more likely it is they're going to go out and beat him. That's not the case. I just remind your listeners that Donald Trump spent one quarter of what Hillary Clinton spent in 2016 and won that election.
Right.
And in 2020... it wasn't about how much money Donald Trump had. It was about how the media manipulated his messaging. So I see these Republicans around the country. Now, Chris Sununu has no money, isn't going to have any money to run for office, and is not going to win a Republican primary in the state of New Hampshire. That I am certain of. So, you know, what that really comes down to is Chris Sununu was on TV with Jen Psaki complaining about the people, the New Hampshire residents, at the CNN town hall, where CNN actually picked the people to show up at that event because they reached out to me. So, you know, this is how how naive Governor Sununu really is that to blow up the Republicans who are at a town hall supporting the former president is not really a path to victory when you're trying to think about running for president.
It's exactly what I said in the previous hour. He keeps calling Trump a loser. I think the only loser in this situation is the guy that can't even poll in second place in his own home state. He's polling behind someone who's only visited here once. That tells you how connected he is with our Republican base here in New Hampshire. And we share the similar disdain for Sununu. And best of luck to him in the presidential race. But here's the question, right? I mean, Sununu, he's out there. He's attacking Trump. He's made it very clear he's anti-Trump. He doesn't care for the president. He doesn't care for the millions of Americans that voted for the president, which is why his political career stands no chance. But DeSantis is raising all this money, but he won't attack Trump, Corey. He won't go as far to say as, like, we can't afford Donald Trump. He just keeps saying, oh, we can't afford to lose. Like, why is he afraid to just go after him? You got Chris Christie doing it. I mean, Chris Christie's not polling very well either. But do you think DeSantis is ever going to have to bite the bullet and just actually start attacking Donald Trump? Do you think he'll ever get to that place where he does it? Or is he just so controlled by his consultants and they keep telling him not to?
Caroline, it's not just the consultants that control him. It's the major donors.
Right.
So when you're Ron DeSantis and you're all these other candidates and the donors control what you say and what you do, or they withhold the money, you have to do exactly what they say and do. And so the reason that Donald Trump and, to a lesser extent, Vivek Ramaswamy can go out and say and do whatever they want is because they don't need anybody else's money.
Right.
They fund their own campaign, and it gives you an enormous amount of freedom to do that. But, you know, Ron DeSantis has to go and see a donor who writes a $10 or a $20 million check or a $5 million check, and they say, don't go after Donald Trump, it's beneath you. Don't talk about his hands, Marco Rubio, it's beneath you. Right? The only time in the 2016 campaign where Marco Rubio had any type of momentum was when he started talking and attacking Donald Trump about the size of his hands. And then the donor stepped in and said, Marco, that's beneath you, stop doing that. And what did he do? He shut it down immediately, and Marco went from third place in Iowa to, you know, last place in the election. So this is what happens when you're controlled by the donor class. It's what happens when you're controlled by the consultant class. And I'm not convinced, even though he has already said he's out of this race, that Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia is not still looking at this race. I think he is an alternative to Ron DeSantis. He is a former co-CEO of the Carlyle Group. He is an impressive guy by and large. And I think the donors, the institutional donors, the Karl Rove donors, the same ones who have lost election after election after election after election, are looking for an alternative to Ron DeSantis right now, because Ron DeSantis is not stepping up to the game. And there is a big difference between being the governor of a state and being a candidate for president of the United States.
You know, DeSantis, you're bringing it up, Corey. Right now, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place because his donor class, who he was catering to over the last several months, where he flip-flopped, you saw him flip-flopping on Ukraine. He told Tucker Carlson one thing. He said something different to the donors. Now they're not fully pleased with his performance thus far. And he's pissing off the GOP base. So he's just declining with both of these groups. It's interesting to hear you say that about Youngkin. But you also brought up someone who is impressive, Vivek Ramaswamy. I interviewed him on the show a few weeks ago. He is no doubt a very smart guy. He's picking up a lot of traction. I know a lot of voters in New Hampshire have been curious to hear what he has to say. Do you think Vivek Ramaswamy would join a ticket with Donald Trump for VPOTUS? What's your take on that? And what's your take on Vivek's campaign so far?
Well, look, I happen to be the chairman of the committee, and, you know, maybe the listeners aren't so happy about it anymore, but I chaired the three-person committee that chose Mike Pence to be Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate in 2016, okay? It came down to three individuals, and I don't say I had the final vote, but basically Donald Trump gave me the authority to go pick the vice presidential nominee, and I did that, and I settled on Mike Pence. I think anybody who wants to run with Donald Trump is going to benefit from it. Now, the great thing about Vivek is that he's out saying all the conservative things that other conservatives believe.
Right.
And it's much harder to attack him because he is a Hindu American, right? So he doesn't look like the old white guy. He's incredibly smart. And when I saw him eat Chuck Todd for lunch 2 weeks ago on Meet the Press, when Chuck said, how can you be so sure what a man is and what a woman is? Is it science? He said, is it science? It's either two X chromosomes or an X and a Y chromosome, Chuck. Yes, it's science. And Chuck was like in the mumble tank, but other people say maybe it's a rainbow or a panoply or whatever. Vivek goes on every show. He destroyed Don Lemon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He is very reminiscent to me of where Donald Trump was in 15 and 16. He's doing every interview. He's raising his profile. And today, Vivek Ramaswamy is pulling 5%, which is equal to the former vice president of the United States of America, Mike Pence. That should tell you that his message is resonating. Now, do I think he's going to be the Republican nominee? Probably not. I firmly believe Donald Trump is going to be that person. But I think this guy is an amazing orator. He is a phenomenal campaigner. And I love the fact that he's spending time in our home state.
Yeah. Yeah, he's spending a lot of time in New Hampshire, that's for sure. A lot of people are interested in what he has to say. All right, Corey, well, in about a year from now, we'll see if these predictions come true. Will we see a Trump-Vivek ticket? It will be quite interesting to watch it all play out. Corey, thanks so much. We appreciate your insight and analysis, as always.
You bet. Take care. Thank you.
All righty. Interesting stuff. 2024, we're heating up, baby. Trump, the road back to the White House, as I like to say. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show. We have a few minutes left together. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We've had a lot of great feedback on the show. A lot of calls today, which I really always enjoy taking those calls. And now I am joined by the great Howie Carr. And Howie, you and I, we'll be together again on the road this Friday up in Laconia, New Hampshire at Fun
That's
Spot.
That's right. I love Fun Spot.
Me too. It's a great time.
Playing a lot of pinball.
I'm a skee ball girl, so I'll be playing skee ball, and it's a great family-owned business, conservative family up in Laconia, New Hampshire.
A delicious pizza.
That is true. And it's the largest arcade in the world, as advertised.
Yes, it is. And you can still get your gift certificates at HowieCarshow.com. $50 gift cards for just $25.
That's right.
As well as to Bucks Lagoon.
Yes, that's correct.
$40 gift cards for $20.
Yes, HowieCarshow.com. Fun spot in Laconia. If you're a lake person, if you're a beach person, we got you covered too for Bucks Lagoon mini golf. 18 holes of mini golf. Ice cream. I was actually just there yesterday for an ice cream cone, and it's beautiful spot. So we got a deal for you, and they're going
It was
quick.
A great day for soft ice cream. I had some myself.
Did
in
you?
Weston. Yes.
What's your ice cream flavor of choice?
Twist.
Me too.
The mailroom manager said, how about we split a raspberry sherbet with topping on it. I said, I'd rather die.
I'd rather drink a Bud Light than right. have a rainbow.
I want a double-dipped waffle cone with chocolate, vanilla chocolate chip.
Raspberry sherbet when you can have a twist. Come on.
Yeah, no. Do you get your twist in a cone or a cup?
Cone.
Okay.
How about you?
I do a waffle cone because it's thicker, so you get more ice cream
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, I don't. Well, you can get a waffle cone at Bucks Lagoon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's bad. Okay.
And they have flavored soft serve, too, which I just like the traditional twist like you, but there's over 30 flavors they can put into the soft serve if that's what you like. So there's plenty of options, and it was great. And I get Jimmy's on my cone, which Jimmy's, we're not allowed to say that anymore.
No. Sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
That's such a vanilla word.
Chocolate sprinkles I got on my twist. So we'll be enjoying ourselves Friday. But anyway, you're taking over here in about 5 minutes. What do you got for us today?
I think we'll be talking about the illegals, and there's a big problem. Massachusetts is the only state in the country with a shelter law. It dates back to Dukakis era,
mm-hmm.
and the state is being overwhelmed even more than other states, and
wow.
certainly in the Northeast. And we're going to be talking to the mayor of Taunton, Shauna O'Connell.
Who's, oh, great.
They got a big hotel down there, 160 quote-unquote families. Have deluged the city of Taunton, a working class, very solid community. And we're also going to be talking to a state rep who's going to try to repeal the law. He's not going to get anywhere with it, but people ought to know at least that it's that.
So
it's
what's
out
the
there.
Law as it currently stands?
If you come to Massachusetts, you have a right, a quote-unquote right, to shelter.
Just like health care is a right to the Democrats,
well, you know,
right?
The thing is, yeah, I
everything's
mean...
Everything's a right these
You know,
days.
The thing is, those stories in the New York Post over the weekend were, I think, infuriating. You mm-hmm. mentioned them earlier. I mean, that they're ejecting homeless vets in upstate New York because the agency could only pay $88 a night for homeless vets, and the illegal aliens, their quote-unquote advocates, can pay $190. So an illegal alien is apparently worth twice as much as a homeless American vet who served his country. And then the people being thrown, having their wedding plans disrupted.
I know. It's outrageous. I mean, the veterans, of course, is more heartbreaking than a wedding, right? Because these people serve. But even so, I mean, these are citizens of our country. It's really
infuriating. What about a contract? I thought, you know, a contract was protected under the Constitution. I mean, when you sign a deal to pay for a wedding, isn't that a contract?
And that's what this couple said. They said, we signed a contract. We had a legal contract to have those rooms. And they called the hotel, learned the reservation had been tossed aside. In the hotel, they were on hold for 45 plus minutes. And then they ultimately said, we can't do anything for you. Sorry. Bye. Talk about hospitality. Oh, you booked your whole wedding with us, and now we're just going to cancel it. I mean,
the
that's
third
outrageous.
World has arrived.
Yeah, honestly, it certainly has. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy that. Are you going to get into Comer at all? I wasn't able to touch on that today. Oh, whistleblowers going missing.
Yeah, that was pretty bad that the whistleblowers are going missing. But he said he's going to name the White House enforcer who's trying to intimidate the whistleblowers. You know, come on. Come on, Jim. Don't tease us. Just name the whistleblower. You know, this is like an organized crime hit. You don't tell somebody why you're going to hit them. You just hit them.
Yeah. You know, I think he made that mistake, too, in announcing when their press conference was going to be and when they were going to announce the additional members of the Biden family and these updates. I mean, of course, you have to let the press know so they'll cover it, which they didn't cover it anyway, aside from Fox and Newsmax. But
they told them when not to cover it.
Right.
And they give a heads up to the Bidens with how to counter.
How to distract, which was the George Santos indictment.
Right.
The Biden team saw, oh, they're going to come out, Comer's coming out with this today. Let's go indict George Santos. So that's what our propagandist machines can talk about. And that's exactly what they did, as Cash Patel pointed out with you last week.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, George Santos, he's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mind I don't mind the guy because he just kind of highlights how much worse the Democrats are, like the fake Indian and Da Nang Dick Blumenthal.
Yeah.
But I mean, is he a menace to society? I don't think so.
No. He took, I think, $24,000 of unemployment when he was making a paycheck, which we've said this before. We don't appreciate that. Entitlement abuse, we don't want that on our side. But in comparison to the Democrats who are insider trading, Nancy Pelosi's net worth has increased by 100 times since she's come into Congress. The real corruption's on their side. We have one guy who... You know, isn't
did you see, did you see what Biden, Hunter Biden was spending the money on when he was getting the divorce?
More prostitutes?
He was buying, other than that, I mean, they had a list of all the stuff his soon-to-be ex-wife's lawyer was complaining about. He spent $7,500 on a hot tub, and he was buying underwear, and then the lawyer puts in parentheses, not for Kathleen.
Oh, thanks so much. For whom then? Himself? Or one of his other girls? Good Lord. Well, it'll be a great show. Thanks so much for tuning in today. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show, and I will see you Friday at Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire. Take care.